This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Monday, June 30th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nelly. Here's today's headlines. Budget signed. Citizen lawsuits dropped from water bill. Pierce disease program continued. And Feed the Future labs could be reinstated. State budget passed and signed into law. The legislature on Friday passed the budget bill and several accompanying trailer bills, with Governor Gavin Newsom signing them into law soon afterward. Democratic supporters highlighted record education funding, free school meals for all kids, and health care access for undocumented residents. Arguing President Donald Trump is sabotaging the economy, Newsom said the budget agreement proves California won't just hold the line, we'll go even further. But Republicans criticized the unstable spending levels, questioned funding priorities for the health care coverage, while pressing for more Proposition 36 implementation funding. For Ag, in a subsequent op-ed in the Hollywood Reporter, Senator Roger Nello of Fair Oaks explained why he voted against a $750 million film and TV tax credit. He argued it would not uplift the statewide economy and would only delay the industry's regulatory burdens. He noted that farmers and ranchers also face rising labor costs and environmental regulations, and that, quote, policymakers have offered them little relief. Nell channeled frustrations shared by the California Farm Bureau President Shannon Douglas at the AgriPulse Food and Ag Issues Summit earlier this month, which CalMatters columnists had also echoed. Bill to protect Nexus waters drops citizen lawsuits. Senator Ben Allen of Santa Monica has dropped a contentious provision in his water bill that would have enabled a private right of action to enforce new water quality protections. SB 601 proposes to expand the State Water Board's jurisdiction by redefining waters of the state to incorporate Nexus waters covering wetlands that were federally protected before the U.S. Supreme Court Sackett decision. Allen had promised to drop the litigation provision in exchange for the votes needed to move the bill out of the Senate. Yet farm groups continue to oppose the bill over the increased penalties, new permitting requirements, and the controversial incorporation of non-navigable waters. The bill is scheduled for its first hearing in the Assembly on Tuesday. Wine grape growers renew Pierce disease program. California wine grape growers have overwhelmingly voted to continue the state's Pierce disease control program through March 2031. With the votes cast Friday, 77% were in favor, surpassing the threshold required in the five-year continuation referendum. Funded through a grower-paid assessment, the program supports research, monitoring, and rapid response to protect vineyards from Pierce disease, its primary vector, the glassy-winged sharpshooter, and other emerging threats. CDFA Secretary Karen Ross praised the steadfast commitment of growers and their long-standing partnership with the state. This is one of the most effective grower-driven pest and disease control programs of the country, said Natalie Collins, president of the California Association of Wine Grape Growers. The program has invested $60 million into 311 research projects since 2001. Randy Heinzen, board chair of CDFA's Pierce Disease and Glassy Wing Sharpshooter Board, credited the industry's united effort, saying growers have top researchers working on solving issues that matter most to us. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. GOP modifies key OBBB provisions. Senate Republicans have made some significant modifications to President Donald Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill in their bid to get it to his desk by July 4. Here's some highlights. Alaska and Hawaii, they're exempted from a new state cost share requirement, and the two states also could get an exemption from SNAP work requirements. The changes came as Republicans were trying to secure the vote of Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski. Parents with children under 14 would remain exempt from SNAP work requirements. The House wanted to impose the work requirements on parents with children as young as 7. The Senate Ag Committee raised that age to 10, but Senate Ag Committee Chairman John Bozeman told AgriPulse this weekend it may be difficult for some parents to leave their kids alone until they're at least 14. The late changes to the 45Z Clean Fuels Tax Credit, a mixed bag. The revised version of the Senate's budget reconciliation bill limits the credit to North American feedstocks while also reducing the extension of the credit to just 2 years. The bill would create a $25 billion stabilization fund for rural hospitals in a bid to soften the impact of Medicaid cuts. CBO, OBBB ag provisions save $120 billion. Because of the reduction in SNAP spending, the Congressional Budget Office estimates the bill's agriculture provisions will cut spending by a net $120 billion over 10 years. That's after factoring in SNAP savings that would be shifted to farm programs. The Price Loss Coverage Program, which is especially important for southern farmers, is the big winner when it comes to farm programs. CBO estimates PLC will cost an additional $50.4 billion over 10 years under the bill, compared to just $3.6 billion more for the Ag Risk Coverage Program. The Crop Insurance Program is getting about $6 billion more. The week of the dealmaker and the tariff man. The deadline for Trump's reciprocal tariff reprieve is less than 2 weeks away, and the U.S. has penned just one trade framework so far. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick is, once again, indicating that the situation could be about to change. The former Cantor Fitzgerald CEO on Thursday previewed a slate of imminent trade deals that could land this week. "We're going to announce a whole bunch of deals over the next week or so," Lutnick told Bloomberg. The president is, quote, "the dealmaker," Lutnick said. "The president is going to make his calls. He's going to decide exactly the finishing touches on them." But the president is also self-professed tariff man, and those north of the border will be watching for which side the president shows Canadian officials this week. Trump abruptly announced an end to bilateral trade talks with Canada on Friday, and suggested he could announce new tariffs soon. Trump can sometimes be persuaded to reconsider, however, as the European Union can attest. Take note, another delay on the reciprocal tariffs is always a possibility, and France finance minister used an interview on Sunday to call for more time. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent acknowledged on Friday that even if the reciprocal tariffs return, talks will continue to play out. "I think we could have a trade wrapped up by Labor Day," Bessent told Fox Business Maria Bartiromo. Here's today's final word. We commend Governor Newsom and the legislature for taking action on this and moving E15 closer to full approval. That Growth Energy CEO Emily Score responding to the legislature approving the governor's $2 million budget request to accelerate the review of E15 for use in California. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Monday, June 30th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Daly.